Jagannanda Swami Nayana Patagami Bhavatu Me. Jagannanda Swami Nayana Patagami Bhavatu Me.
So this evening, we were asked if we'd say something about Jagannath Mahaprasad.
Сегодня вечером меня попросили говорить, сказать что-то о Джаганнат Махапрасаде.
This is a very deep subject.
Это очень глубокая тема.
We'll just give some kind of introduction to this tonight.
Небольшое введение сделаем на этот счет.
Last year we made a 64-page magazine about this subject matter.
В прошлом году мы сделали журнал, состоящий из 64 страниц, говорящий на эту тему.
We should understand what is prasada.
Нужно понять, что такое prasada.
How it is that Krishna accepts it.
Как Кришна принимает это?
Why is it so important in our tradition?
Почему оно настолько важно в нашей традиции?
How should I behave toward prasada?
Как мне нужно относиться к prasada?
Is there a difference between prasada and mahaprasada?
Есть разница между prasada и mahaprasada?
And I don't know if I have time to fully answer this, but what is so special about Jagannath Mahaprasad?
Не знаю, будет ли у меня время ответить на все эти вопросы, но мы еще поговорим о том, что особенного в Джаганнат Махапрасаде.
The word prasad in Sanskrit is synonymous with the word kripa or mercy.
Слово prasad в санскрите является синонимом слова kripa или милость.
The effects of prasadam are described by Krishna to Arjuna in chapter 2, text 65 of Bhagavad Gita.
Bhagavad Gita, в втором главе, 65-м тексте, Кришна рассказывает Арджуне о эффекте прасада.
Prasade saiva dukanam hanirasho pajayate prasana chetasa yasu buddhir paryavitishtate. The first thing is that when you get prasadam, Saiva dukanam hanir ashopa jayate. All your unhappiness goes away. This is a result of getting prasadam. Of getting some special mercy. And prasana chetasa yasu, you naturally become very happy. And buddhir paryavitishtate, the third symptom, third result of taking, getting prasad, is you get some good intelligence. So this is a very important part of our movement. We need prasad. We need mercy. We don't just need food to eat. To advance on this path, we need special blessings. And we also want to distribute prasad to everyone. So again, prasad doesn't just mean food. But prasad means mercy. And that may come in many different forms. But primarily, when we think of prasad, we think it's time for lunch. Sometimes we say, how many devotees here are pujaris? Raise your hand, anyone? So you may know, there's mantras for waking the deities and for putting the deities to rest. We put the deities to rest, we say, agatcha shayana stanam svapriyaisa. Begin like that. To wake the deity, we recite utista tista, like this, you please rise up. Some persons did a scientific survey in our society, and they also found there are mantras that put the devotees to sleep, and there are mantras that wake them up.
Нашей культуры, они нашли даже мантры, чтобы класть преданных спать и будить преданных.
This is a scientific survey.
Это очень научное исследование.
Everybody take a deep breath.
Пожалуйста, глубоко вдохните.
I don't want you to fall asleep. The mantra for putting devotees to rest is Om Namo Bhagavate. Maybe you've heard the rest of it. We won't do it right now. I heard that once Srila Prabhupada was in Detroit and he was giving the Bhagavatam class. And every single devotee in the class fell asleep. Except for his servant. And Prabhupada turned to him and said, actually, this Bhagavatam class is for advanced devotees. On another occasion, this is a true story, in Los Angeles I heard someone was giving class. And again, every single devotee in the class fell asleep. And then the devotee who was giving the class, he fell asleep. Hare Krishna devotees are very relaxed sometimes. So just as there's a mantra to put devotees to sleep, there's also a mantra to wake them up. No matter how deeply asleep they are, if you start reciting his mantra, Mahaprasade Guru, and everybody immediately wakes up. So it's a very important part of our tradition. In many different traditions in the world, they have some concept of holy food. In Christianity, there's a Eucharist, which they consider to be non-different from the blood and body of Christ. There's the, in Islam, there's the iftar. During the month of Ramadan, the Muslims, they only take either before sunrise or after sunset. And that meal that they take together in the evening is called an iftar. It's considered to be like an auspicious meal. In the fifth chapter of the Quran, it's described. It says that God sent food from heaven to Jesus. And that Jesus prayed to him, our Lord, send us food from heaven, which will bring us happiness and give us sustenance. And Allah replied, surely I'll send this to you, but whoever disbelieves in it or is ungrateful, afterwards among you I will chastise him very, very heavily. So in the Mahabharata it said, Mahaprasadi Govinde Nama Brahmani Vaishnave Swapapunya Vitam Rajan Visvasanai Vajayate, that for someone who has just very little punya, this faith in these things, the holy name, in the Vaishnavas, in Mahaprasad, in Govinda, that faith doesn't take place. So we should understand something about prasad. I've seen amongst many different religions in the world, if they have some kind of concept about sacred food, most people have kind of a mechanical attitude toward it. The Christians, they take the Eucharist generally in a kind of an official kind of way. And if you see the Hindus going to the temple, they also have to get some prasadam.
И хиндуи, которые отправляются в храм, просто должны получить какой-то просад.
But they don't really think about it so deeply.
Они так глубоко не размышляют над этим вопросом.
In Gaudiya Vaishnavism, we have a very, very deep conception of Mahaprasad. And that's what we'd like to speak with you tonight about. It's described by Srila Prabhupada in one letter in
1968.
He said that Krishna only wants our love.
Only wants our
love.
Only wants. Ah, Krishna wants only our love.
And that makes him hungry. As many times as you may offer him. He's absolute.
Он абсолют.
So all contradictions coincide in him.
И все противоречия заключаются в нем есть.
He's hungry and he's satisfied simultaneously.
Он голодный, одновременно удовлетворенный.
So, in our tradition, we don't see it as a ritualistic thing.
В нашей традиции мы не видим это как ритуал. Мы смотрим на это как ритуал.
There's a story you may be familiar with, also from the Mahabharata.
Из Махабхараты есть уже одна история, которую мы знаем.
When Krishna went to Hastinapur to try to make peace between the Pandavas and the Kauravas.
Когда Кришна отправился в Хастинапур и пытался умиротворить две стороны Пандавов и Кауравов,
Дурьодхана invited him for lunch. Дурьодхана кабогана кайо. He didn't take that.
И Кришна не принял.
And rather, he went to the house of Vidura.
Более того, он отправился в дом Видуры.
Unannounced.
Не
and they say that Vidura's wife was so ecstatic that Krishna came. She wanted to give him something to eat. But they had nothing in the house. She had some bananas. She started peeling the bananas. And in her ecstasy, she wasn't paying attention to what she was doing. She was throwing the fruit away. And she was offering Krishna the peels. And Krishna was eating them. Oh, so nice. Thank you very much. Later, Duryodhan, when he saw Krishna, he was a little angry. Hey, we invited you to lunch. Cooked a Himalayan mountain of food. So many preparations, you didn't come. It's very bad. And then Krishna told him, he said, Duryodhan, you should understand that people in this world, they eat for two reasons. One, because you're hungry. We were telling this story the other day. And Krishna said, I'm optikam. I'm never hungry, I'm self-satisfied. The second reason that you eat is if someone offers you something with love. Maybe you went to India for 6 months. And when you came back, you came to the temple. And there was a big feast. And you ate so much prasad. And then afterwards you went home to see your mother. And you haven't seen your mother in 6 months. And she started crying. And she insists that I'm cooking some nice vegetarian thing for you. Will you eat? You have to. Whether you're hungry or not hungry, you have to eat. So it's not the ritual that attracts Krishna. Krishna is attracted by the love of his devotees. You may know the story in the 10th canto of Sudama Vipra. That our acharyas have commented on this story that his wife was nagging him.
Наши ачарьи, комментируя на эту историю, говорят, что его жена пилила его.
We're so poor, we don't have anything to eat. You should go to your old friend Krishna, get something from him.
Мы такие бедные, нам нечего кушать, и должны идти к Кришне и попросить у него что-нибудь.
Vishwanath Chakravarti Thakur comments that actually she wasn't nagging him. She was actually a very loving wife. And she was feeling so much pain seeing her husband suffer from hunger. And that was the motivation for her speaking in a seemingly harsh way. Sudama told her finally, he said, yes, I'll go. He said, but he's my friend. I have to take him a gift. We don't have anything. She said, I'll find something. In some little corner of the cupboard, she found some old flat rice. It was a little blackish, little moldy. And she wrapped that up in an old cloth. And she gave it to her husband. Her husband stuck it under his armpit. And he set out to go to Dwarka. The journey on the way was very hot. And he was sweating like anything. So the rice became soaked with a very special kind of flavor. And he got to the coast, he took a boat to Dwarka. He arrived there, he was very... He arrived there, he was very astonished to see all the huge palaces. And he asked someone there, he said, which palace does Krishna live in? And they said, all of them. He said, which one is he in right now? And they said, all of them. So he went inside the nearest palace. And he found Krishna sitting in a private room on his bed with his wife, Rukmini. Krishna has so much love for his devotees. When he saw his old friend Sudama, he jumped up. My dear friend, you've come. You must have come a long way. Please sit down. And he sat him down on Rukmini's bed. And Krishna personally began to wash his feet. And Rukmini began to fan him. And then Krishna, he said, it's been such a long time since I've seen you. I often remember the days when we were together in Sandipani Muni's ashram. He said, my friend, did you bring something for me? While all this was going on, Sudama Vipra was looking around the palace. Columns made out of lapis lazuli and walls made out of gold studded with diamonds and jewels.
Огромные колонны, сделанные из драгоценных камней, все золотом, золоте и с разными бриллиантами.
And as he was coming in, he saw a football field sized room where there were hundreds of people were cooking for Krishna. Sudama Vipra was thinking about his rice. And Krishna said, did you bring something for me? Yeah. And Krishna said, you must have brought something for me. I know, you're my droop. What did you bring? And then Krishna said, oh, they're under your arm. And Krishna snatched it. And he opened it up. Oh, my favorite! Nothing is soda used to give me this kind of thing. And he took a handful and ate it. Very nice flavor. Oh, so good. And he was about to take another handful to eat that. And Rukmini grabbed his hand. Why did she grab his hand? Different Vaishnavas have given different reasons. Some have said that Rukmini was feeling that if you eat more, then I'm going to have to go and live with this man in his home. But Vishwanath Chakravarti Thakur in Saratadarshini gives another answer. He said that Rukmini had to stop him because she knew it's very important that he not eat all that rice. You see, Rukmini had 16,107 co-wives. And she knew that when word got out about this very special prasadam, every one of those wives was going to want some of it. There wasn't so much rice in Krishna's hand. So she had to stop him. So that all those queens could get some. There's a verse in that chapter when Krishna is trying to convince Sudama Vipra to give him the thing that he brought for him. It appears as the fourth verse in the 81st chapter of the 10th canto. And the verse is exactly word for word the same as another verse that Krishna speaks in Bhagavad Gita.
9:26.
Patram pushvam phalam toyam yomi bhakta prayachati tadaham bhakti paritam ashnami prayatatmanaha. Is anybody not familiar with this verse? Raise your hand. It's okay if you're not. Krishna says, if someone offers me with love and devotion a leaf, a flower, fruit, or water, I'll accept it. Vishwanath Chakravarti Thakur has commented on this verse in the Gita, and he's also commented on it in the Bhagavatam. But in the Bhagavatam, he says something a little different. He says the word ashnami literally means I eat. Eat what? Patram pushvam phalam toyam yomi bhakti prayachati. He said it means that Krishna is so bewildered by love that even if someone offers him a flower to eat, Krishna will immediately eat it. Krishna eats the love of the devotees. And not only does he become bewildered by their offerings, but sometimes he becomes intoxicated also. This probably comes as a big shock to all of you because I know you're all very strict followers of four principles. But Acharyas explain that Krishna sometimes becomes intoxicated. In chapter 13 of the 10th canto, which describes Brahma stealing the calves and boys from Krishna. There's a description how Krishna expands himself into all those different forms. And he assumed the form of all those calves and all those boys. And during that time, Krishna, he drank from the milk of those elderly gopis in the form of their boys, and he drank from the milk of the cows, from their udders.
Мы можем видеть, что Кришна в форме мальчиков-пастушков, телят, он пил молоко у матерей пастушков и коров, старых коров.
And the verse describes Sudarshan, that for Krishna that milk was the greatest nectar.
И говорится, что для Кришны это молоко было самым великим, лучшим нектаром.
Just as a side note, this is one reason why some Vaishnavas don't take milk except from cows that are protected.
И вот как ссылку я просто отдельно скажу, что поэтому многие вайшнавы не пьют молоко от коров, которые не защищены.
Because milk means love.
То есть потому что молоко значит любовь.
Milk is a symptom of the mother's love for the child.
Молоко это симптом любви матери к своему.
It's a symptom of the cow's love for her calf.
Это показатель того, что корова любит своего теленка.
In that sense, milk is consciousness.
И поэтому молоко – это сознание.
It carries the consciousness of the mother.
Оно передает сознание матери.
So what is the consciousness of a mother cow who's had her baby taken away from her?
И каково сознание матери коровы, которая дает молоко, когда у нее забрали ребенка?
What is the consciousness of that cow if she knows maybe her baby's been killed?
Каково сознание коровы, когда она знает, что ее ребенка
And they're forcing milk out of her. That milk is full of anxiety. It's full of stress, it's full of unhappiness. It's not at all healthy. And it's not the best thing to offer to Krishna. Srila Prabhupada said it's so important to offer milk to Krishna. If you can't get first class milk, you can still offer milk. Even he said once, if it has fish oil, if you can't get anything else, you can still offer that. So Vishwanath comments that Krishna was taking this milk of the cows and the mothers of Braj, and for him it was complete nectar.
Вишванат Чакраварти так иначе объясняет, что Кришна принимал это молоко от старших гопи.
But he says that since that milk was saturated with their praying, their ecstatic love for Krishna.
И говорится, поскольку это молоко было пропитано экстатической любовью к Кришне.
It had the effect of drinking wine.
У него был эффект подобный тому, как будто это.
And Krishna became completely intoxicated.
Кришна был полностью опьянен.
So Krishna, he doesn't eat just because you ring a bell. Krishna eats the love of the devotees. And this is why Krishna, he goes and steals the makhan and the butter and cream from the gopis. There's a story in Braj they tell. Krishna was always stealing butter. And one gopi became tired of it. She said, I'm going to catch that rascal. And so she took a pot of yogurt and she tied it up by the top of the ceiling. And then she took a rope and she wound a bunch of bells around the rope.
Она взяла веревку и привязала несколько колокольчиков.
And tied that to the pot.
И привязала горшку
ее. She said, we'll see what that fellow does now.
И мы посмотрим, что этот парень делает сейчас.
So later on, Krishna and his friends, they snuck through the window into her house.
И вскоре Кришна со своими друзьями проскользнули в окно ее дома.
They're on some yogurt butter stealing expedition.
Они совершили экспедицию по краже йогурта и масла.
And when they came in, they couldn't find it. And then Krishna saw it up top. And he saw the bells. He thought, oh, this gopi, she's very clever. So then Krishna spoke to the bells. Because in Braj, everything has consciousness. And Krishna said, dear brother bells,
Кришна сказал: «О, братья колокольчики,
you're my friend.
Вы мои друзья.
Don't make any noise.
Пожалуйста, не шумите».
And then Krishna started lowering the pot of yogurt.
И Кришна начал крошить йогурт.
And the bells didn't make a sound.
И колокольчики ни одного звука не издали.
And then Krishna sat down with the pot of yogurt.
Потом Кришна сел с этим йогуртом.
And he started to eat some.
И начал кушать.
As soon as Krishna began to eat the yogurt, suddenly all the bells started ringing very loud.
И как только Кришна начал есть йогурт, в этот момент все колокольчики начали очень громко звонить.
An elderly gopi came running into the room.
И старшие гопи бежали в комнату.
She grabbed Krishna.
Схватили Кришну.
What are you doing?
Эй, ты что делаешь?
Now I've got you.
Сейчас я, вот теперь
we're going to turn you over to your mother.
Я сейчас верну тебя к своей.
Telling her that you've been stealing yogurt.
Я расскажу, что ты крал йогурт.
And Krishna was looking at the bells.
Said,
my dear brother, why did you betray me?
Братья, вы чем меня сдали?
And the bells, they spoke. It's not our fault.
Это не наша вина.
Everyone knows that when Bhagavan eats, you ring a bell.
Все знают, когда Бхагаван кушает, надо звонить колокольчик.
But in Braj, Krishna doesn't wait for a bell.
Но во Брадже Кришна не ждет колокольчика.
This is the purport of Krishna stealing milk products from the gopis.
Вот почему Кришна крадет молочные продукты у гопи.
They have so much love.
У них столько любви.
And when they're churning that yogurt, they're singing about Krishna.
Когда они пахтают этот йогурт, они поют про Кришну.
And Krishna can't resist it.
И Кришна просто не может.
They all want Krishna to come.
Они хотят, чтобы Кришна.
Sometimes Krishna doesn't come there for a few days.
Иногда Кришна пару дней уже не приходит.
And then the gopis become worried.
И тогда гопи начинают беспокоиться.
They go to Mother Yashoda's house.
Они идут к маме Яшоде домой.
They say, Brajrani, is your Gopal okay? Is everything okay with him? We haven't seen him. They feel so much ecstasy when Krishna comes and steals it. But of all the different places where the Lord is offered prasadam, the prasadam in Jagannath Puri is considered very, very special.
Из всех мест, где Господь кушает просад, просад Джаганнатхапури считается очень-очень особенным.
There's a bahiranga karan and antaranga karan, an external reason and internal reason for this.
Есть внутренние и внешние причины этому.
The internal reason would take me a long time to discuss.
Чтобы рассказать про внутренние причины, это займет очень много времени.
And there's some other subjects we want to go to today.
Но,
we wrote some article about that in our last issue of Krishna Katamrita magazine. If someone has a copy, I don't know, you can read that, it's in English. But there are also some external reasons. In the Niladri Mahodaya, it's described. Jambudvipi rangabhumis tatra sete janardanaha tatra prayage bimale snati devasa madhava nitya karma karochesha kyate badrakshame punya nilachale ramye chetrishi purushottama bhumte svayam chikalam va shatkalam sva va surottamaha says there ta. Krishna, he takes bath at Prayag. He sleeps in Sri Rangam. He does his Nitya Karma, his daily rituals in Bhadragashram. But he eats in Jagannath Puri. That's his business there. If you come to Jagannath Puri, you should be careful not to address the prasadam there as prasad. If you ask one of the pandas, I'd like some Jagannath prasad, they may chastise you. They say, this is Mahaprasad. Similarly, if you bring them some prasadam from Radha Shyam Sundar Vrindavan, you say, here's some Mahaprasad. from Radhisham Sundar Vrindavan. They won't appreciate. Let's say, no, only in Jagannath Puri is it Mahaprasad. Many times devotees, they've asked me, they say things like, we want to do the same kind of worship of Jagannath in our temple that they do in Puri. That's a little difficult. If you want to do that, first of all, you need the ocean. Then you need Jagannath Vallabha Gardens. You need the Gundicha Temple. You need the Jagannath Mandir with hundreds of different devatas living in there. You need to have Sweta Ganga and Indradyumna Sarovar. You need to have dozens of small villages around. You need to have so many pandas. Because Jagannath has a very unique way of worship. In Puri, they say that there's Sad Anga Sanskar, or six steps to offering Jagannath Mahaprasad. And you can't imitate it. I'll be very impressed if you can. It begins early in the morning when one of the pandas, he comes and he performs a fire yajna. And they call Lord Nisringadev to that fire. And then they use that fire to light all the different fires with. The kitchen of Lord Jagannath has 32 rooms. It has 752 stoves. Sometimes in Jagannath Puri, it gets up to 45, even 50 degrees. Inside the kitchen of Jagannath, there's no electricity. There's no AC. There's no fans. And they were cooking over 752 wood-burning stoves. They only use a particular kind of wood for cooking. There's particular persons who are allowed to cook. Every day there's about 600 cooks that come to the Jagannath. 200 of them are called swaras. They're the ones who actually cook on the fire. And there's 200 who are called jagunias. They help by lighting the fire and washing the pots and utensils, bringing water and things. Then there's another 200 cooks called tunias. A tunia is not even allowed inside the kitchen. They work in a separate area called the agana. And they cut the vegetables and fruits, they grate the coconut and different things. On an average day in Jagannath Puri, they cook about 5,000 kgs of prasad. And on special occasions, that may go up to 10,000 kgs during the month of Kartik and others. So there's no kitchen like this. When they begin to cook, they do this fire sacrifice, and they use from that fire sacrifice, they light all the different stoves. One of the names in Oriya language for Jagannath Mahaprasad is Abara. Bada is something that when you transfer something from your cooking pot to another plate.
Бара, значит, что это то, что ты перекладываешь из кастрюли, которую ты готовишь на тарелку для предложения.
When you cook for the deities, I think they have their own plates.
Когда вы готовите для предложения, у вас, конечно, есть отдельные тарелки.
You cook in the pots, and then you take something out of the pots and you put that on the plate.
Вы готовите в кастрюлях, потом перекладываете.
But in Jagannath Puri, that Mahaprasad is abhuta, because the same pot they cook in, they also offer. And it's a big subject. We have a book someone gifted me last year in Puri. It's about this big, about this fat, and it's only about the cooking pots, just the pots of Lord Jagannath.
Вот такая длинная, вот такая толстая, и она рассказывает только о этих вот горшках, которые готовят для Джаганнатха.
They're only made by certain persons.
Их делают особенные личности.
From certain castes and certain villages.
Особенные касты, особенные отдельные деревья.
I've gone to some of their villages and met some of those pot makers.
Я вот заезжал в некоторые из этих деревень и встречал вот этих вот горшочников.
Those pots are only reddish color. They won't accept them if they're white or if they're black.
Они не принимают черные или белые эти все горшки. Они такой рисованного оттенка.
And the way they make them, it's like they have a natural omkar inside the pot.
И как они делают их, у них когда они делают, у них такая естественная омкара в горшке.
And they cook on those pots and they'd offer that directly to Lord Jagannath. So there's Sadanga Nyas. Sadanga Sangskar, six different purificatory processes they do. The first thing is, one Brahmin comes and they have a special mantra that he recites. Just like when we perform a prana pratishta ceremony, the deity installation, there's a certain mantra you chant. Shri Krishna Iha Vaha Iha Vaha Shri Krishna Iha Tishta Iha Tishta Shri Krishna Iha Sanidhi Iha Sanidhi, and you call the deity. So they have a special mantra they chant in the kitchen. And that mantra calls Lakshmi Devi to come and cook. And it's considered that Lakshmi Devi personally cooks for Jagannath. When they make the Rajboga offering for Jagannath, they have a special solid golden plate that they put it on. And they put that on top of a Shri Yantra. And that's offered in the Garbha Griha, the inner part of the altar room. Most of the Boga in the Jagannath Mandir is offered in the place known as the Boga Mandap. Before offering the Boga, they chant the 40-syllable Patala Nishringa Mantra. Jagannath has a very intimate connection with Lord Nisringadev. That's another discussion. And then when they offer the Boga, they recite the 18-syllable Gopal Mantra. That's the fourth of the six different samskaras. After that, the food is considered to be prasad. But before it's considered prasad, they have one test. The head priest comes. And he puts some water in his hand. And he holds his hand in a certain way so that he can see the reflection of Jagannath and the water in his hand. If he can't see the reflection of Jagannath, they consider that Jagannath didn't accept the offering and they throw everything away. That might mean 5,000 kgs. It's a very serious thing. So, if they see Jagannath's reflection in the water, then that food is considered to be prasad.
Значит, это является просад.
But not Mahaprasad.
Но не Mahaprasad.
Prasad. And then they take some of that and they put it on a Bhairavi chakra.
И потом они берут немного этой, кладут на Bhairavi chakra.
And they offer that prasad to goddess Bimala Devi.
И тогда они предлагают этот прасад богине Бимале Деви.
There's one famous acharya in our line who's named after goddess Bimala Devi.
У нас есть один ачарья в нашей линии, которого зовут по имени Бимала.
Do you know his name?
Бимала Прасад.
Бимала Прасад.
Bimala Prasad Datta, Srila Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati.
Bimala Prasad Datta,
Srila Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati. So Bimala Prasad means Jagannath Prasad.
Bimala Prasad is Jagannath Prasad.
After they offer that Prasad to goddess Bimala Devi, then it's considered to be Mahaprasad. And then they mentally offer it, they have one last ceremony they do, they mentally offer it to the Asasattvika Vaishnavas, eight different Vaishnavas. By reciting their names. Vishvakshena, Shukadeva, Goswami, Prahlad Maharaj, Hanuman, Narada, Garuda, Rishidevala, and King Indrajuma. And then it's considered Mahaprasad. So Jagannath Mahaprasad is very, very special. Nowhere in the world do we see anywhere where people have such a conception, a deep conception of Prasad that they have in Puri.
Нигде в мире мы не видим такую концепцию просади, как это они имеют в Пури.
Every festival in Puri, Mahaprasad is an important part of it.
На каждом фестивале в Пури Махапрасад является очень важной частью его.
If someone's child is born,
сын родился, там,
if there's a marriage, if there's a death,
свадьба, смерть.
And someone starts going to school, there's a thread ceremony, whatever ceremony, they always have Jagannath Mahaprasad. And the way they take Jagannath Mahaprasad is different than in many places in India when they take Prasad. It's considered to be a kind of offense if you sit down in a chair when you take Mahaprasad. And in Puri, they won't even sit on a cloth. Everybody sits on the ground. Sachinanda Maharaj, or ISKCON Sachinanda Maharaj, told me that once he was invited to have Mahaprasad with the king of Puri in his palace. So when Sachinanda Maharaj went there, everyone was sitting on the floor. And Sachinanda Maharaj, he took his chadar and he spread it out and put it on the floor and he sat down on it. And then they were serving out the prasad. And Sachinanda Maharaj, he knows etiquette in these kind of circumstances. It's best to just wait. See what everybody else is doing. So he was just sitting there. And they served everyone prasad. And everyone was just sitting there. Like 5 minutes. No one was doing anything. Finally, Sachinanda Maharaj, he leaned over to the king. He said, is everything okay? And the king of Puri told him, he said, we're just waiting for you to get down off your seat. And then we'll take prasad. Because it's described in the Skanda Purana. Daridra kripanova pi grihashta prabhu eva va swadesha paradesha va sarve tatra samagataha nabhimanam prakurviran vishnu nirmal yabakshane. That everyone, when they come to Jagannath Puri, whether they're poor, whether they're rich, whether they're a resident of Jagannath Puri, whether they're a foreigner from Estonia, no one should exhibit any pride when they take Jagannath Mahaprasad. We have certain etiquette in society. We give respect to brahmacharis and sannyasis. Because they're living a renounced life. We give respect to learned Brahmins. We give respect to elderly persons. We give respect to mothers. There's a kind of etiquette involved. But that etiquette changes when we come before the Lord. Because when we come before the Lord, everyone is equal. It's not that the sannyasi is better than the mataji. But when we come before the Lord, everyone is equal. And therefore, when we take Jagannath Mahaprasad, it's considered to be non-different than having darshan of the Lord.
Поэтому принимая Джаганнат Прасад, это считается ничем не хуже тем, что когда мы принимаем
Санатан Госвами comments on his Brihad Bhagavatamrita.
Санатан Госвами, он комментирует Брихад
Бхагаватамрита. Yata Vishnus Chatayeva Tat. He says that the food that Jagannath eats, it's exactly the same as himself. It's the same as him. So when you take Jagannath Mahaprasad, you're directly having darshan of Jagannath. They have a local story they tell in Puri. That 100 years or so ago, when the British were ruling in Orissa, one day they spoke amongst themselves and they decided, hey, we want to see what's inside the Jagannath temple. Let's go inside. And so they brought a battalion of soldiers with them. And they started to go in the temple. And the pandits said, we're sorry, you can't come in. And the British told them, we're bigger than you, we have more soldiers, we're going inside the temple. And they say that just at that time, out of nowhere, suddenly, hundreds and hundreds of these big Hanuman monkeys, you see, the white ones with the big long tails, suddenly they appeared there, hundreds of them. And they started attacking the British soldiers. Those British soldiers were the best trained soldiers in the world at the time. They'd been trained in fighting techniques against the Russians. They knew how to fight against the Americans, how to fight against the Japanese. They'd been very well trained. But they'd never been trained in fighting against monkeys. And those monkeys started biting him and scratching him. And the soldiers became terrified. They dropped their weapons and they started running. After some time, the pandits came out of the temple. They said, would you like to have darshan of Jagannath? Everybody said, yes. So then they said, please sit down here on the street. And they brought some banana leaf plates. And they served them Jagannath Mahaprasad. That Mahaprasad of Jagannath Puri, it's considered that it's never contaminated. Even if it comes from the mouth of a dog, or a low-class person, I've seen pandas, they'll sit down and take Mahaprasad next to a Muslim. And they would take the remnants of the Muslim. If it's Mahaprasad. Actually, when you're taking Mahaprasad in Puri, the etiquette is if someone comes and asks you for some. Gaurasundipu, can I have some of the prasad off your plate? You have to give him. It's Mahaprasad. It's considered to be such a sacred thing. Sometimes someone won't take Mahaprasad from someone else's hand.
Кто? Who?
They won't take Mahaprasad from someone else's
hand. Если кто-то не принимает просад из руки кого-то.
Because it's considered that if you do that, and later on you ever argue with that person,
говорится, что если ты делаешь так, берешь кого-то из руки Mahaprasad,
then it's a great offense.
То это великое оскорбление, потому что ты поссоришься
с ними. Нет, ты не можешь потом с ними спорить.
А, ты не можешь, простите. Ты не можешь спорить, ругаться с личностью, если ты не принял.
Если ты принял, а из чьей-то руки Джаганат Махапрасад, ты потом не можешь с ним аргументировать, это, там, сказать там, спорить. Да.
I first went to Puri around 25 years ago when I shifted
there. Первый раз я приехал в Пури 25 лет назад.
And I took a rickshaw one day from our ISKCON temple.
Mm-hmm.
And I think it should have been about 5 rupees. Now it's probably at least 50 rupees.
Mm-hmm.
But they wanted to charge me too much. No, I don't mind paying 10 rupees.
Okay, well, 10 rupees.
I'll pay a little extra. But this fellow wanted 15 rupees. And I'm a very stubborn person. So I was having this argument with this rickshaw wall right in front of the Jagannath Mandir. And finally I'd taken some money and I put it on his seat and he threw it down and we're having a big And then suddenly, almost out of like nowhere, one of my friends came and said, Madhavananda, would you like some Mahaprasad?
И вот в один момент один из моих друзей подошел ко мне и сказал, «Эй, Рамананда, хочешь Махапрасада?»
And he gave me some Mahaprasada.
И он дал мне Махапрасада.
Without thinking about it, I turned around to the rickshaw well and I offered some to him.
Не о чем не думая, я повернулся к этому рикшаву вале и дал ему немножко.
He stopped. And took the prasada.
Он взял прасада.
He took my money and left without
Взял мои деньги.
I don't know if that would still work today. But that man had some culture. It's also said that you're not supposed to refuse Jagannath
Mahaprasad.
And you should sit on the floor when you take. When they travel with Jagannath Mahaprasad, they'll never put it under the seat. They'll always keep it above them. And they never mix prasad, any other kind of prasad with Mahaprasad. Contrary to what some people think, the pandits never ever eat fish or something with Mahaprasad. They made a mistake in one of the early editions of the Prabhupada Lilamrita. And they said something about how the pandits were taking fish with the Mahaprasad.
I was
very shocked to read that. And I spoke with some of the local pandits and people in Puri. And they told me, don't even say that. If people hear you say that, they may kill you. They consider that to be such a big offense. So later, I wrote to the editors, they made some correction in Lilamrita. When they take Jagannath Mahaprasad, many of the pandas, though, they have special clothes they'll put on just to take Mahaprasad, clean cloth. It's considered to be a great offense to step over Mahaprasad. Maybe you've seen photos or you've seen people in Jagannath Puri, they have these big feet, they call it elephantitis.
It's a
kind of disease, so their foot swells up very big. They say, the tradition in Puri is that they say that happens if you step over Jagannath Mahaprasad. When the Vaishnavas sit down to take Jagannath Mahaprasad together, actually when the Vaishnavas generally take any kind of prasad together, no one starts until every person has something on their plate. If you ever go to visit some Goswami's house, in Vrindavan. Or maybe you take prasad in the Tota Gopinath temple or Siddha Bakul in Puri. Don't start taking prasad until everybody has something. Our friend Krishnadas Maharaj is a Mahanta Tota Gopinath. He's very strict about that. And there may be 100 people there, but no one starts taking until everybody has prasad. And then they wait to see if the senior person starts to take. The rule of thumb is when you see two or three people taking, then you can start. If someone starts eating early, Krishna Das Maharaj, he stops and he goes and starts shouting at them.
Tells him,
don't think this is a restaurant. Very, very heavy. So be careful. Because when you're taking with the Vaishnavas, you're taking together. And everyone is respected. And therefore they wait until all the devotees have prasad. And then nobody gets up until all the devotees are finished. And then when everybody's finished, usually one of the senior devotees will say, Nittai go Haribol. Then everybody will start standing up at the same time. That's our Vaishnava etiquette. In Jagannath Puri, when they finish taking Jagannath Mahaprasad and they go to wash their mouth, the first mouthful or two of water they don't spit out. They rinse it around in their mouth and they swallow it. Because they don't want to spit out Jagannath Mahaprasad. We've never seen any culture of Mahaprasad like what they have in Jagannath Puri. And for different people, that Mahaprasad means many different things. There are many, many Hindus who go to Puri to get Mahaprasad. But for the Vaishnavas, they understand the special quality of Mahaprasad is the love that it's offered, it's cooked and offered to the Lord with. This is the most important principle. Sanatana Goswami said that when he discovered the deity of Madan Mohan, that Madan Mohan was staying in the house of some Brijbasis. And they were treating him like he was one of their boys. Sanatana Goswami came to their house one day. And he saw the lady of the house was cooking with a stick. She was stirring a pot with a stick. And then once she suddenly stopped cooking and she used the stick to clean her teeth, and then she stuck the stick back in the pot. And she kept stirring. And Sanatana Goswami saw that. Sanatana Goswami is a co-author of Hari Bhakti Vilas, Rules of Deity Worship. Oh, you can't do like that? That's a great offense. She said, oh, I didn't know. He said, you have to take bath before you cook. And you can't put something in your mouth and put it in the pot. Oh, I'm very sorry. So she went and took a bath and put on clean cloth. And meanwhile, Madan Mohan became very annoyed. And he complained to Sanatana Goswami. I liked the way she was cooking for me. Now you're making so many problems. And it's taking her so long to cook. I don't like this system.
Мне не нравится ваша система.
So similarly in Jagannath Puri, Lord Jagannath has his own particular system.
И таким образом в Джагнат Пури Джагнат у него своя система.
It's a very interesting combination of different things.
Это очень интересная комбинация разных всех вещей.
My grandmother, she called Lord Jagannath Madhurja Aishvarja Yugala Milan Jagannath. He's a combined form of sweetness and opulence.
Он является формой объединенной сладости и величия.
Generally, opulence has a certain effect on the devotee.
Обычно величие влияет особым образом на
преданного. And Chaitanya Charitamrita says that Aishvarya Priti Sankuchita, that opulence makes love shrink.
Читая Чиндакта говорит, что это величие заставляет любовь сузиться.
But in Jagannath Puri, it doesn't make it shrink.
Но в Джагнат Пури она не уменьшается.
There's a kind of dynamic tension there.
Там есть динамичное давление.
Because it's a place of sweetness and opulence.
Потому что это место.
It's a place where the gopis, they meet Krishna. And they talk to him. Excuse us. We've heard now you've become God. And you're a big man. And everybody's worshipping you, reciting Purusha Shukta and all these things. You see, do you still remember that village called Vrindavan? Do you still remember your father and your mother? When the gopis see the opulence that Krishna has in Jagannath Puri, it doesn't make their love shrink. Rather, it increases their love. It creates a kind of tension. And so in Jagannath Puri, there's always this tension between sweetness and opulence.
Все время происходит трение между сладостью и величием.
There's a nice story in this regard.
Есть замечательная история.
There was one old lady a few hundred years ago in Puri. Her name was Nandi Mata.
Пару сотен лет назад в Пури была женщина, которую звали Нанди.
Мата.
Нанди Мата.
Мата, like mother.
Мата.
Mata.
Yes.
You may have seen some of those kind of old ladies. They have a shaved head, sometimes a little sika, and they wear white. They don't even have a choli or a bra. They're just very, very simple ladies. Nandi means a shaven head. So she had a small ashram there in Puri called Nandi Mata Ashram. And every day she'd go for darshan of Lord Jagannath. Nandi Mata had very intense love for Jagannath. She considered that Balaram and Jagannath were her two little boys. One day when she came in, she saw what they were offering Jagannath and Balaram to eat. She saw how many sweets they were offering. When your mother sees how many sweets you're eating, what does she say? We know. So she became very disturbed. My boys are eating so many sweets.
You
might get a stomachache. So she decided, because she's a village lady, village ladies, they have some special wisdom. And she knew some particular plants, we would call them weeds. She knew some particular plants, some that were very bitter. Pitasaga, some bitter kind of green things. And she knew they're very good if you take too many sweets. So she cooked that in her house. And she decided she would take it to Lord Jagannath. Now in the Jagannath temple they have very strict rules. One of the rules is that, with the exception of one sweet shop, that's another story, that no one is allowed to cook anything outside the temple for Jagannath. No one is allowed to bring anything in the temple to offer Jagannath. So, that lady like a KGB agent. She hid it inside of her sari. And she snuck into the temple past the chokidars, the guards. She looked both ways and made sure no one was seeing. And she took it out. And then standing next to the Garuda Stambha, she offered it to Jagannath. Please eat this so you don't get a stomach ache. And the bitter spinach disappeared. And Nandi Mata was very happy. So every day she started doing that. Keeping it under a sari, sneaking into the temple with that bitter spinach. And one day, the guard, he was looking at her. Said, "Hey, old woman, what have you got under your sari there? Stop, let me see." And Nandi Mata, she started running. She was an old fat lady. She couldn't run very fast. And that guard caught her. And he pulled the sari. "What is this? You're out, you're bringing some weeds to offer to Jagannath? You can't do that." And he threw it away. And Nandi Mata was very, very sad. And she couldn't offer her service. So finally she went home. At the end of the day she took rest. And that night she had a funny dream. She saw two little boys. One was white and one was black. And they were crying. And they were holding their stomachs. "Mata, we have a stomach ache. They gave us too many sweets." Maybe in the Talon temple here sometimes you give Jagannath too many sweets. "You didn't bring us the bitter spinach today?" And Nandi Mata said, "It's not my fault. You're the one who sent that chokidar, that guard. You can't blame me. You boys, you're very, very crooked. Why you sent him? I couldn't do my service." Jagannath said, "Anyway, don't worry, Mata. You please bring it tomorrow. We want some." Okay. That night, Jagannath also appeared in the dream of the king of Puri. And at the same time, he appeared in a dream of the head priest. He told the king, "Tomorrow morning, I want you to go to the front of the temple. I have a very special devotee. She's an old woman. Her name is Nandi Mata. And she has some special spinach. And I want that." So the king woke up. He thought, "That's a very strange dream." So if the king has a dream that's a little strange, what does he do? He has to have someone interpret it. So he went to the head priest in the temple. He told him, "I had this dream last night." He told him about it. The priest looked at him. He said, "I had the same dream. Maybe we should stand outside the temple this morning." So that morning, Nandi Mata, she made some nice bitter spinach. She put it under her sari. And she came to the temple. And that day she was a little nervous. Because the previous day the guards captured her. That morning when she came, she thought there was a big queue. They're only letting one person at a time inside. And they were questioning everyone as they came. And she saw the king of Puri and the head priest. She said, oh no, now I'm really in big trouble. They were stopping all the old ladies. And ask him, what's your name? Oh, your name's Lakshmi? Go inside. And Nandi Mata came. What's your name? My name's Nandi Mata. Then all of a sudden, immediately, the king of Puri and the head priest fell down on the ground and offered obeisance. And that little old lady, she became very interested. What are you doing? He said, we know about your spinach. Jagannath's very eager for it. Come with us. And they brought her inside the temple. And they offered that to Lord Jagannath. So they're still offering that every day to Jagannath. And they have a special name for it now. It's Nandi Mata Pita Sag. Named after that little old lady. Because Krishna doesn't just eat rituals. Krishna eats the love of his devotees. And there's a certain respect that we give to prasad like that. It's meant for the pleasure of Krishna. We printed another story. Should I tell you one more story? Okay, this is one of my favorite stories. And we printed this in our, translated and printed in our last magazine. It's from the Jaimini Mahabharata, the only version of the Mahabharata. And it appears in a book called Bhakta Mala, which Srila Bhaktisiddhanta was also very fond of. So it said that on one occasion, Yudhisthira Maharaj, he was going to perform Rajasuya Yajna in Hastinapur. He wanted the ceremony to be very auspicious. So he went to Krishna for advice. Krishna, what should I do? How will the ceremony become successful? And Krishna told him, if you want the ceremony to be successful, several things you should do. First of all, you should invite the Saptarishis to come and have them be the priests. Secondly, you should invite everyone on the planet to come. And everyone who comes should get prasadam. Yudhisthira said, well, how will we know if the sacrifice is actually a success or not? Krishna took his Panchajanya conch shell and he put it down on a table. And he said, I've put my conch shell here. If the sacrifice is successful, then the conch shell will begin to blow by itself after the ceremony. So Yudhisthira called for the Saptarishis. And he made sure that everyone got prasad. Everyone from the dogs, to the dog eaters, to the brahmins, the kings. Everyone got mahaprasad. And so when they finished the ceremony, then the Pandavas were all standing around this table to see if the conch shell was going to blow. And they were standing there. And nothing happened.
И ничего не произошло.
So Yudhishthira went to Krishna.
Yudhishthira отправился к Кришне.
He said, "Did we do something wrong?"
Спросил, мы что не так сделали?
And Krishna said, "Yes, you did." He said, "There was one of my devotees, one dear devotee of mine, and you didn't give him Mahaprasad."
И Кришна сказал, "Да, мы сделали кое-что. Мой хороший преданный не получил Махапрасад."
Who is that?
Кто это был?
His name is Swapacha Valmika, and he lives outside the city.
Его сказал, его зовут Свапача Валмика, и он живет за городом.
And he's born in a Swapacha family, a dog-eating family, a very low-caste family. So Krishna said, so you should cook a special feast for him. And invite him to your palace. And then you can atone for the offense you've made to him. So then Yudhishthira, he sent Bhima and
Arjuna
to go find that Swapacha Valmika. And he had Draupadi cook. Draupadi cooked over 100 preparations. So meanwhile, Bhima and Arjuna are looking for this Swapacha Valmika. Someone told him that's his hut. Bhim went there. Your name is Swapacha Valmika. That's me. Bhim said, come with me. Where are we going? We're going to the palace. He said, who are you? I'm Bhim. This is Arjun. Bhim and Arjun? You came in my house? You could have... Why did you come? You could have sent some washerman, rickshawwala, or someone to get me. You're the Yuvaraj. You're going to be the king after Yudhishthira. You shouldn't have come. No, no, we made some offense to you. What offense did you do to me? We didn't give you Mahaprasad during the ceremony. Swapacha Valmika said, I got prasad every day. I waited until after the Brahmins finished their meal. And they threw their plates in the garbage. And I went to the garbage and I got some of that prasad. Nice prasad. And Bhim said, no, no, that's not good enough. You have to come with us. And so Swapacha Valmika said, I can't go to the palace with you. I'm an outcast person. And Bhim became a little irritated. He said, look, Yudhishthira said, you're going to the palace. Come with me. You're going to the palace.
So
that's Swapacha Valmika. He's a little skinny Hare Krishna guy, you know. You can't argue with Bhima Singh. He said, oh, okay. So they brought him there. And as we said, Draupadi had cooked over 100 preparations. According to the Mahabharata, Draupadi is a partial manifestation of Lakshmi Devi. She's a good cook. And she said, she told the Swapacha, please sit down. Swapacha said, wait, before you offer me anything to eat. Was this offered to Krishna? She said, yes, in our house, everything we cook, we always offer to Krishna before we take it. Okay. So he sat down, and they brought these 100 preparations. 40 different types of sweets. 10 different types of dal. Bitter items and savory items. So many things. Put it on a big plate in front of him. And then Swapacha Valmika offered his obeisances to it. And then while all the Pandavas were standing and watching him, he started mixing all the prasad together. Nice. The dal with the ice cream. The bitter melon with the rasgullas. He mixed everything together. And then he started eating. Draupadi was watching this.
Draupadi,
she cooked for like 2 days. Made all these preparations. And this fellow was mixing everything together in the
beginning.
Draupadi's watching. But she didn't say anything. So he finished taking prasadam. He wiped the plate clean.
He
offered his obeisances. And he left. So then all the Pandavas, they came and they stood around the conch shell. And they're waiting for it to blow. And nothing happened. So Yudhishthira went back to Krishna. What's wrong now? We invited that Svapaccha fellow. We gave him a huge meal. Still the conch shell's not blowing. Krishna said someone did some offense to that devotee. Yudhishthira was a very gentle person. But he could also become very angry. When he heard someone had committed some offense to that devotee in his palace, Yudhishthira called everyone to come, called for all the residents of the palace to come. Who did offense to that devotee? Everybody was shaking. Wasn't me. Finally, Draupadi, she spoke up. She said, I didn't say anything, but I was thinking in my mind, this fellow's really a Svapaccha, a really low-class person. I gave him food which would be fit for the greatest king in this world. And he doesn't even know how to eat. If you ever cook for Bhakti Charu Maharaj, be careful. I've taken prasadam with him a few times. The devotees are shaking. Because Maharaj knows pukka etiquette. And there's a certain sequence of things you serve. First you give something bitter. You give some ginger, you give some black salt. Then you give chapatis. Then you give rice. Not that you give the rice first and then the chapatis. You take the chapatis before the rice. And there's a certain sequence of things. And if you do it wrong, he knows. And he'll tell you. So Draupadi said, this fellow, he's mixing everything together. He didn't get, what kind of behavior is that? Krishna said, call for him again. So he sent Bhima back again. Bhima Singh brought him again. And Krishna, he asked that Svapaccha. He said, why did you mix all the prasadam together? Svapaccha bowed his head and folded his hands. He said, my dear Krishna, they told me this was offered to you. It was meant for your pleasure. It was not meant for my pleasure. And if I were to eat it and all the different items separately, I might do some offense. Maybe I might like the sweet rice better than the dal. Or the ice cream better than the bitter milk. I might favor one item more than another. And it would be an offense. Because it's all sacred. It's all prasadam. And so then he bowed his head again and he left. And then suddenly the conch shell began to blow by itself. So we should honor Mahaprasad. Bhaktivinoda Thakur has taught us Sayanam Rita Pau. I don't think many of you know Bengali. But sometimes you may hear devotees singing it a little differently. Saying Amitakao. But there's an important difference between these two words, kao and pao. Pao means to accept. Kao means to eat. We don't eat prasadam. We honor prasadam. And by doing so, we're giving respect to Krishna. Now, at this point, there's a very important question that's probably on the mind of some of you.
Yes. Yes. Yes.
So maybe now they'll start mixing all the prasadam together. He's afraid of that. So a question comes. If this is a nice way to behave, why didn't Srila Prabhupada do like that? I never heard of Srila Prabhupada taking all of his prasadam and mixing it together. I've never heard of Srila Bhaktisiddhanta doing like that. Or any of our acharyas. Sometimes, Srila Bhaktisiddhanta, they would take the remnants off his plate and go and distribute it to the devotees. And when they came back, he would ask them, who took what? Who wanted the sweets? Or who took the bitter melon and had a bite out of it? And when he saw that the devotees were more fond of certain sweet things, then he had to mix it all together. And they do this to this day in our ISKCON Mayapur temple with Mahaprasad. They distribute, they have some special Mahaprasad they distribute to the pilgrims. And it's a mixture of sweets and fruits and khichdi and vegetables. But it's not a general thing devotees do. How do we understand this? Maybe the story is not bona fide? I came across a nice verse spoken by Krishna in the Brahma Purana. He's explaining to Lord Brahma how he eats. Naivedyam puruto nyastam jisvaiva srikitam maya bhaktasya rasanagrena rasam ashnami padmaja. The same word ashnami, I eat. So he says that naivedyam purato nyastam drisvaiva svipritam moya, that if someone puts some food stuff in front of me, I accept it just by looking at it. But I taste it in another way. Bhaktasya rasanagrena rasam ashnami padmaja. He says, I taste those preparations through the mouths of my devotees. Because you see, Sanatana Goswami describes in his Krishna Lila Stava, Rupa Namashrita Bhishta, that when someone takes shelter of Krishna's name, someone takes shelter of Krishna's deity form, something happens to that person. Rupa nama ashrita abhishta. Krishna enters into that devotee. Krishna becomes present in the devotee. So when the devotees are honoring prasadam, they're doing it as a service for Krishna. And that's how Krishna tastes the prasad. He tastes through the mouth of his devotees. Sometimes there's some controversy in our society. Maybe because we're not going out and book distribution enough. We have so much extra time, we have time to argue about stupid things. Some people say, is pizza bona fide? Now, one learned sadhu in ISKCON has described that pizza is actually just a self-realized chapati.
Шабисада в Искон говорит, что пицца на самом деле является осознавшей себя чапати.
But other people don't accept that.
Некоторые не принимают это.
And they say, no, what kind of prasadam is this? Are you cooking for Krishna or are you cooking for yourself? If you're cooking things that you like, how is that for Krishna? We should cook what Krishna likes. And therefore, Hari Bhakti Vilas gives a long list of items we should cook for the Lord. These are all things that Mother Yashoda cooks for Krishna. These are all things that Srimati Radharani cooks for Krishna. Because the principle is that everyone likes what their mother cooked for them. And you have to be honest with me. It's true for you also, isn't it? You like what your mother cooks.
Yes.
See, he's not a brahmachari. He's a mamachari. But that's okay, Krishna's a mamachari. It's the nature of everybody in this world. Everybody likes what their mother cooked for them. Now some Vaishnavas with nothing better to do complain and they quarrel about very important topics. Is pizza bona fide? Is cake bona fide? Why should we even have a discussion about that? We should just cook what Mother Yashoda and Radharani cooks for Krishna. But there's another situation. When the Vaishnavas come to our house, we want to please them. Because that person is a Titi Bhagavan. He's a manifestation of the Lord. So we like to cook for them what they like. I used to travel with my Guru Maharaj, son was his personal servant. He grew up in the rural Orissa. And he liked dalma and rice. Tomato chutney. Very traditional kind of things. But if someone cooked some pizza or some cheesecake or something with love and affection, he would take it. But he really liked the rice and dalma. Once I have a friend who's working with us for many years. And one year he came with me to Vrindavan, he was helping us sell books. And he was really working very hard. So I wanted to give him a treat. Let's go to MVT restaurant. And so we got there, and he didn't know what to order. Ishamarissa. I don't know all these things. I said, it's okay, you should have some pizza.
And you should
take some lasagna, some ice cream, some cake. I spent a lot of money. And I was very disturbed to watch him. He looked really unhappy. And I'm thinking, look, I'm spending all this money on this guy and he doesn't look happy.
I said,
Pradosh, is everything okay? And then like a little child, he told me. I want some rice. Because he's from Orissa. That's what people eat. Rice is nice. If there's no rice, it's not nice. It's almost like a drug for them. I mean, they'll eat in West Bengal too, they'll eat like a big giant plate like this. It does some, it's like a drug for them. They're not satisfied unless they have that. So Srila Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati Thakur, he engaged some of his disciples. He told them, you stay in Vrindavan. And when the devotees from West Bengal and Orissa come, you make them rice. Because Vrindavan, everybody eats rotis. But race is the thing for West Bengal and Orissa. He wasn't considering what Krishna likes. He's considering what the devotees like. So this is a subtle topic. When we cook for the deity, we should cook with Mother Yashoda cooks. But sometimes we're cooking for the devotees. We may want to cook what they like. Not for myself, not what I like. That's not prasadam. That's a very strange consciousness. You're already tasting it before it's even offered. You're tasting it in your mind. But prasadam is something that we cook with love. But I don't know Krishna. How can I cook with love for Krishna? But I do know Krishna's devotees. And I may have love for them. And so I express that love by cooking things that they like. Or I express that love for the devotees by cooking for Krishna what my Gurudev and what the devotees tell me to cook for Krishna. Okay. So we'll stop there. There's so many different stories and so many very big subject. Śrīla Prabhupāda ki
jai,
Samaveda Bhaktavinda ki
jai,
Gaura Prēmānanda
hare bolo.
Anybody have any questions or comments? One thing I'd like to say about prasadam. The system when we cook, our system, we should begin our cooking before we go to the kitchen. We begin by taking a shower, by wearing only clean clothes and being showered in the kitchen. We begin by collecting pure items. I mentioned that Srila Prabhupada said that if you can't find any other milk, you can even offer milk that they put fish oil in. Similarly, did you know that white sugar in many places, especially in India, it's not vegetarian? They, what they do is they cook the sugar down into a liquid, and then they strain it through cow bones. And there's traces in that white sugar of cow bones and cow blood and flesh. I never offer white sugar in India to India. If there was nothing else to offer, I would do it. Because I should cook something sweet for him. But if I can get something that's first class, why would I offer something 10th class? If there's no choice, what can you do? But if we have a choice, it's an offense to not offer the best item. Similarly, in India, I don't offer store-bought ghee. I'm probably going to disturb your mind if I tell you this. They put animal fat in ghee in India. In Vrindavan, they only had one brand of ghee that they said was pure. And there's a particular market, I forget the name of the market, it's not White Bazaar, it's another market they were selling that in. Not little. Yeah, better we don't say names.
No?
Anyway, so my friend Mukunda Datta Prabhu, the head pujari at Krishna Balan, he spent 10,000 rupees. Took some of that ghee and he sent it to a laboratory to test it. best ghee in Vrindavan.
Лучший ghee в Вриндаване.
Brilliant, beautiful, golden color.
Прекрасный золотистый цвет.
Nice smell. All the temples were using it. Test results came back. 65% cow ghee.
65% cow ghee.
35% chicken fat.
35% курино жир.
I don't offer it ghee from the stores to my dealer. We make it ourselves.
Мы сами делаем.
Or I get it from the village from someone that I trust.
Или из деревни, кому я доверяю.
Srila Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati Thakur, incidentally, he forbade his followers in the 1930s to offer ghee, store-bought ghee, or store-bought sugar to the deity.
Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati в 30-х годах запретил своим последователям ghee из магазина и сахар из магазина предлагать.
So cooking begins before we go in the kitchen.
Приготовление начинается до того, как мы идем на кухню.
And incidentally, Srila Prabhupada, he said, you should know this, he said, what is Krishna's favorite room in the house?
Srila Prabhupada говорил, как вы думаете, какая любимая кухня в доме Кришны?
It's not the temple room.
Нет, не алтарная.
He said, it's the kitchen.
Он говорил, кухня.
That was Srila Prabhupada's favorite place.
Поэтому это
so, that kitchen should be like another deity room.
И Кришна, да, он говорит, кухня должна быть второй.
We should keep it so clean. And we should only go inside there if we're very clean, we've taken bath, we have clean clothes on. In many houses in India, to speak of temples, even in someone's house, if you don't have second initiation, they won't allow you in their kitchen. Very strict about it. That cooking begins before you light the fire.
Приготовление начинается до того, как ты зажигаешь огонь.
Because our acharyas teach us that when we offer something, we should begin by offering.
Наши ачарьи учат, что когда мы предлагаем что-то, мы должны начинать.
To help you understand this, I'll tell you a story Srila Bhaktisiddhanta told.
Я расскажу одну историю, которую сказал Бхактисиддханта.
Once there was a man who went to a carnival, a circus.
Однажды один человек пошел в церковь.
And he purchased a big bag of popcorn.
И он заказал большой мешок попкорна.
He was looking forward to eating that popcorn.
И он смотрел.
And suddenly a big burst of wind came.
И ветер подул очень сильно.
Blew all the popcorn out of his bag into the air.
И он весь попкорн из его мешка выдул.
The man's looking. He's lost his popcorn.
Мужчина смотрит, потерял попкорн.
So he thought, anyway, I should get some benefit from the popcorn.
Но подумал. Ну так или иначе, мне хоть какое-то благо надо дать этому попкорну.
Popcorn's blowing in the wind.
Попкорн развивается на ветру.
The man calls out, Govinda Bhog, I offer this to Krishna.
И он закричал, я предлагаю это Кришне.
That's not the way to do an offering.
И это не то, как мы должны делать.
Offering is not an afterthought.
Мы должны предлагать Кришне Бог.
Offering should be a forethought, a during thought, and an afterthought.
До мысли, получается. А до готовки, во время готовки, после готовки.
Therefore, when we wake up in the morning, what's the first thing we do?
Поэтому, когда мы встаем с утра, это то первое, что мы делаем.
We offer obeisances to our Guru today.
Мы предлагаем
поклон нашему Гуру. Let me offer whatever activities I do to you today.
Все, что я буду сегодня делать, я предлагаю тебе.
When we come into the temple, what's the first thing we do?
Когда мы заходим в храм, первое, что мы делаем.
Offer obeisances to our Guru today.
Поклон нашему Гуру.
Let me offer Guru today. Let me offer whatever I do in the temple today. Let me offer to you.
Пускай все, что буду сегодня делать с вами, я предлагаю тебе.
Before we chant our japa, what do we do? We first offer prayers to our Gurudev. Gurudev, let me offer this to you. So we should begin our offering, begin our cooking by offering. In that sense. In the sense that we should fix our consciousness that I'm going to offer something to you. I'm going to offer something to the devotees. And then the taste of that is amazing. First time I met Radhanath Maharaj, he's a brahmachari, it was
1983.
In some small preaching center in West Virginia, Ohio. Maybe it was Dayton, Ohio. At that time, he was a brahmachari, he was traveling in a car. And he'd go to different universities. And he'd wear Western clothes. And he'd give cooking classes. Vegetarian cooking classes. And he never preached to the people. He would show them how to make halava and different things. And then he would go to the next school. And after some time, he'd come back to the first school. And when he came back, he told me that the students were complaining. We followed the recipe that you gave. But it doesn't taste the same as when you cooked it. What do you do with that food? And then he told them about prasad. So there's a difference when it's cooked by the devotees. There's a difference when something is cooked with love. Our friend Pyari Mohan Prabhu, Prabhupada's disciple, he told me that when he first joined the temple, the devotees told him that prasadam was transcendental. He had great faith in prasadam. He thought, because it's transcendental, there's no limit to how much you can eat. And he was amazed. He found it was true. You could just eat unlimited quantities. And it was never too much. And this went on for a few weeks. And then there was one particular Sunday feast. We had another realization. Prasadam is transcendental. But my body is not transcendental. He was laying in the corner. So, devotees used to have sometimes some funny ideas to prasadam. We should understand prasadam is our life. It's not just a ritual that we do. Prasadi, it takes away all anxiety, all suffering. Anashopajaya, prasanachitasaya, it gives all happiness. Buddha Paryavisistate, it gives us intelligence. Many, many different stories are there. Anybody have any comments or questions?
How old is this bitter shock of Nandamata? Yeah, Nandamata.
How long ago did that happen? When did that happen? Is the question?
No, I want to know how it looks to next time when I visit Jagannath Puri to recognize this shock.
You just have to ask him for Nandamata Pitasak.
Yeah.
It's spinach. It's a little difficult to get. It's offered on the Rajbhog plate, which is not the general prasad you can get. Sometimes you can get. But generally the prasad that we get is what's offered in the Bhogamandap.
I'll
tell you another story. Was this at Bhakti Vigyan Maharaj in Puri this last Kartik? Just recently. We have so many yatras in Puri, I forget the
order.
And we'd gone out in front of the Jagannath Mandir. And we drink kirtan in front of the temple. And I have a little speech I tell the devotees. So this day I climbed up on a rickshaw with a microphone. And I told everybody, I said, we're dogs. Dogs can't go in the temple. Dogs have to stay out in the street. And what's the business of the dog? He jumps up and down and barks for the pleasure of his master. So that's what we also do? We're jumping up and down and barking for the pleasure of our master Jagannath. I said, because we're dogs. I said, but don't feel bad. We're Jagannath's dogs. And then I suggested everybody offer a dandavat pranams in the street. And so the devotees did that. And they started doing kirtan. And just at that moment, a pundit came up to me. A pundit came up to me with a basket. And he said, this is exactly what he said, Jagannath sent this for you. And I looked inside the basket and I recognized it's very special prasad. From the Balya Bhoga offering in the morning. You can't purchase that prasad. It came just at that time. So I stopped the kirtan. And I told the devotees. I said, so we're Jagannath's dogs. What does the dog do? The dog jumps up and down and barks for the pleasure of the master. And then what does the master do in reciprocation? He throws some food to the dog. So see, Jagannath sent this to us. And we gave everybody some of that prasad. That never happened to me in 20 years of Puri. Very special thing. Anything else is there? Nataji.
Who is Bimala Devi?
Bimala Devi? Bimala Devi is considered to be like Jagannath's auntie.
Bimala Devi is a tetushka Jagannath.
There's another more secret understanding about her. There's a statement, the Purusha Bodhini Shruti. There's a book called Purusha Bodhini Shruti. It's part of the Tarva Veda. And it says there, Bimala Sadosa Chandika Sadosa Gopyaha, that there are 16 gopis in Braj. And they're not different from the 16 chandis. Goddesses of Durga in Jagannath Puri, which are headed by Goddess Bimala Devi. That's a little more confidential.
Okay.
Most devotees, most people in Puri, though, they think of her as Jagannath's auntie. And every year is a big scandal in Puri.
Every year.
On the day we know is Pandava Nirjala Kadasi, Lakshmi Devi gets married to Jagannath. It's very romantic. They have a wedding ceremony. And they take and they tie Jagannath's cloth to Lakshmi Devi's cloth. Four days after Pandava Nirjala Kadasi, the Purnima, that particular Purnima, is known as Snat Purnima. Jagannath has a public bath. We gave about a 3-hour long talk about this in Lithuania recently. Big subject. I'm just telling him a little skinny now. They pour over 100 pots of water on his head. He gets sick. You'd get sick too if they poured 100 pots of water. Lakshmi Devi is such a good wife. For 15 days she doesn't sleep. She just serves her newly married husband. She's such a good wife. After 15 days, she becomes a little tired. You can't blame her. She falls asleep. As soon as she falls asleep, what does Jagannath do? It's a scandal. Unties the knot of the cloth. And he leaves the temple to go see his girlfriends. They call it Rathayatra. And Lakshmi Devi wakes up a few days later. She asks around, where's my husband? She asks one of the priests. The priest says, well, he kind of sort of like, he went to see his girlfriend. when Eva becomes very disturbed.
So
what does she do? She goes to see God as Bhimala Devi. They have a ceremony every year. And she complains to him, to God as Bhimala Devi. I just got married. I served my husband so nice. I didn't sleep for 15 days. As soon as I fall asleep, he unties the cloth and goes to see his girlfriends. Very bad. And Goddess Bhimala Devi, she says, I know all these men are just the same. And she gives her some charna, some magic powder. So you take this and you go to Jagannath and you blow it in his face. And he'll come back to you. I think if you could make this and sell it in the market, you'd have a good business. So it's a long story. But finally Jagannath comes back to the temple. Lakshmi Devi locks him out of the temple. It's a long story. But then finally Jagannath comes back inside the temple. And he put him back on the altar.
He was no altar.
And the first thing they do, they have a special ceremony. Every year, they take Jagannath's cloth and Lakshmi's cloth. And they tie a knot back in. So Goddess Bhimala Devi, she has some special services that she does. She gives some solace to Lakshmi Devi. Because in every temple we need to have a Bhimala Devi. We need an elderly Mataji. That the ladies can go to and complain about their husbands. Okay. Anything else to say? All right, thank you very much.
Спасибо вам.
Шрила Прабхупада ки. Да. Самобида Бхактивинода.